Good evening, everyone. Welcome into Redacted on this Monday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
So glad to have you here. And on this show, we tend to cover the stories the mainstream largely ignores, although the story we're going to lead off with today, the mainstream is all over it. But I have a contrarian view on this bank-run story and what's happening with America's banks and the U.S. dollar that we're going to get to as our top story. And it's really, really interesting the way that the mainstream media and social media is jumping all over this story. And we're hearing from President Biden on all of this. So we're going to dive into the very latest on the bank run story.
Plus, a major diplomatic win in China has weakened the U.S. dollar in the eyes of anyone who is not in the West. We are going to explain to you what they are not telling you about how other countries are perceiving an entire economy based on the U.S. dollar and whether or not that's actually threatening U.S. hegemony, along with the bank runs that we've already seen. Those stories play into one another.
That's right. And also Tucker Carlson joining us. We had a long ranging interview. Many of you must have seen some of it anyway, but we're going to show you a very notable portion of this interview tonight on the January 6th footage, the video footage. And what is the federal involvement there? Were the feds involved on that day? Tucker has some theories, and it's not sitting well with some in the left wing press. We will talk about all of that and more as Redacted starts right now. So glad to have all of you here. And as our analytics tell us, about 30% of you or so are not subscribed to the channel. Although you watch us, 70% of you are subscribed. So it's very, very simple to subscribe to Redacted. We do the show live every Monday through Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern time. And when you subscribe, just click on the little bell notification so you'll receive notifications. I'm curious in the chat, did you guys get notifications? Some people complain to us that YouTube never sends out notifications. So
we should also let you know that subscription is free. It's not a paid subscription. It's more like a follow. It's free to do. We should also mention that for those of you who are not US-based or in North America, the show will continue to be on East Coast time, but we know that many of you have not moved your clocks forward like the US and I believe Canada did this week as well. So for those of you outside of the US, the show will be coming on Eastern time and continue to be there, so it might be a little bit earlier for you. But guess what? You would know that stuff if you were subscribed to our newsletter. That's how we keep in touch with you. It is at redacted.inc. It is written as a companion to this show, so a lot of the same stories that we covered here, plus more. So head on over to redacted.inc, put in your email address, and then authenticate that email address. Make sure we show up in your inbox every single day. I wouldn't like to say it's a study guide for the show, but if you read it, you've been studied, and then you can come with an informed opinion. I always like people who do the homework. Over the weekend, I was watching these congressional hearings around Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi. Oh, and God, I want to tell you that that is what it looks like when you don't do your homework. You know, I was a
member of Congress. Gail, whatever. She said, now, you published these new pieces of journalism, the so-called journalism, on something called a Substack, which I guess is like a web page. You're a member of Congress. You're literally interviewing journalists about the Twitter files and some kind of Substack.
Or who is Barry Weiss? Like, look, if you're going to ask questions, you have to come prepared. You got to study just a little bit. You know, besides the bipartisan nature of those hearings, which was in full effect, it was just the part of me, the Hermione Granger in me, that was so offended by not preparing. That's not to say I'm not offended. If you haven't read the newsletter and you're still here today, that's okay. But I would very much appreciate it if you subscribed. And we love informed opinions.
Right.
Always.
And if you're not informed, well, that's why you're here, because we're hoping to educate you on some of these topics at least. But we love informed people. Otherwise, you'll get another lecture like this.
You got about not doing your homework.
Exactly.
There was Clayton had a co-anchor on Fox who shall go unnamed, who always did her homework. And there were other anchors around. And I remember once she was like, that person didn't study. And I was like, ooh, she really told him off. And I love that as like, that should be just the criteria of like, have you done a little bit of educating yourself before you speak? We work really hard to study for the show, so we're ready. We appreciate you being here and what you have to offer as well. We have a really smart audience.
We do.
Like really smart.
Yes. I love getting the emails from you and the tweets are, yes, you can tell you're educated. So that's fantastic. So when people try to denigrate independent media or they try to denigrate the audiences that watch, I don't know, Tucker's show or our show or, you know,
Russell Brand, Jimmy Dore,
it's really insulting. Because you can tell, I mean, you know that the audience is spending the time, is reading and is educating themselves. So you guys are the best audience in all of streaming media.
I just want to say too, think about it. Like if we were in front of Congress with the stories that we covered to try to bring truth, they would call us so-called journalists too. They would say this so-called news show.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The so-called, what, you're not on CNN, so then you're a so-called news show.
Right.
Anyway. All right. Well, let's get to the top story then. Let's talk about this bank panic and the destruction of the U.S. dollar. I'm going to say something that probably defies some conventional wisdom right now, and I'm sure that there will be detractors out there, but I don't care, actually, because if I'm right, then a lot of people might actually be able to protect themselves and protect their families. And if I'm wrong, well, guess what? No one gets hurt. In fact, you'll actually be a little bit safer and a little bit of a safer position when it officially happens and they announce this. So we'll get to that in a second. It's a little tease for you. Yesterday, a third U.S. bank failed in the space of a week. So this bank is called Signature Bank, which, by the way, is the same bank that shut down President Trump's bank accounts after January 6th. Isn't that kind of ironic in a way? Anyway, just had to throw that in there. They shut down his bank accounts because he was too risky after January 6th. They didn't like the risk associated with him, Trump, and January 6th Signature Bank. And now they've collapsed. As David Schaefer says on Twitter, Signature Bank famously closed President Trump's bank accounts to signal its virtue. Go woke, go broke, he says, to signal its virtue. This morning, President Biden came out and gave a rare address to the nation. Of course, he's not taking any questions. He doesn't do that. And he did this ahead of the market open to assuage any kind of fears about a run on the banks. Watch.
Today, thanks to the quick action of my administration over the past few days, Americans can have confidence that the banking system is safe. Your deposits will be there when you need them. Small businesses across the country, the deposit accounts at these banks can breathe easier knowing they'll be able to pay their workers and pay their bills. And their hardworking employees can breathe easier as well. Last week, when we learned of the problems of the banks and the impact they could have on jobs of small businesses and banking system overall, I instructed my team to act quickly to protect these interests.
So last week you knew about this, okay? Just to be clear about that, just to rewind the clock, it's not Friday that you knew about this. You knew about this in the middle of the week. You knew about this earlier than we were told. But last week, I told my team. So we know, okay, that's how this is playing out. So the message here, though, is very clear. Don't worry about your money, America, because the Fed will step in and create more liquidity so you can withdraw your money. Watch.
Because of the actions that our regulators have already taken, every American should feel confident that their deposits will be there if and when they need them. Second, the management of these banks will be fired. If the bank is taken over by FDIC, the people running the bank should not work there anymore. Third, investors in the banks will not be protected. They knowingly took a risk, and when the risk didn't pay off, investors lose their money. That's how capitalism works.
Oh, is that how capitalism works? He's giving us a lesson in capitalism.
Oh, okay.
You know, like, so here's how capitalism works. We pick winners and losers, and we the federal government pick winners and losers, and then we print more money to bail out certain people.
Yeah.
That's how capitalism works. Just so we're clear on that.
Okay, cool.
I think I just got the wrong ism.
Yeah. Socialism or something. I don't know. Yeah. Go ahead, Philip.
I just want to quickly jump in with something that just really infuriates me and I hate it, but why it's like the new political rhetoric, not even new, but like decades old of where anything that happens, they have to point out that it was their administration that did it. He starts out with that, like me and my administration. It was like, who? Okay, fine. It drives
me nuts because it's right out of the gate. He wants to take credit for it, right? He's like, I instructed, it was my administration moved very quickly. We moved very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, really? But the bank failures have been on when he was vice president, right, on Democrats' watch. Although, you know, of course, it's monetary policy continues to expand no matter who's in office.
Yeah, it doesn't
and
matter.
So does government. So yes, those like taking credit for the timeline is stupid because they all do the same thing.
So he blamed Trump in this too, which you were kind of alluding to, this idea of they're all to blame. So he blamed Trump. That's one of the other things he mentioned in this speech. Number five on his list was the past administration deregulated things and whatever. Anyway, that's to distract you from the real story. They want us to blame Trump. It's his fault for deregulating the banking industry. That's what the Biden administration wants. That's what left-wing media is saying. All you need to do is turn on MSNBC or CNN. That's what they're saying this morning. And Republicans want us to blame Biden. Biden inflation. Bidenflation, as they're calling it, right? It's his inflation which caused these treasuries to lose value. All of these banks were loaded up on these treasuries, and they lost all kinds of value because of inflation, and that's why there was this big problem, right? So they want to play this back and forth. It's a distraction. In this, I'm saying it's a distraction. This is my theory on this. It's in the same way that the Chinese distraction about the Wuhan lab leak theory, because it's all a distraction from the real story. Everything that we're seeing over the past 24 hours, I believe, is a trial run for a central bank digital currency. This is what I believe. Based on the facts from the FDIC and investors that I trust, this was always going to happen. Just remember some context here. In the fall, right? Right here on this show, we talked about the FDIC held a private meeting. Then that meeting was leaked. During that meeting, the FDIC jokes that the banks are a joke, right? They're not solvent, basically, and that they are a well-known house of cards. They also said that they wanted people to use as little cash as possible. How can we limit the amount of cash that people are using? That's the goal. And when the problem hits, they would release this information on a Friday night so as not to have further panic, right? They want this to hit. They're going to release it on a Friday night. Isn't it kind of crazy that all three of those things just happened on a Friday night? Watch, this is the FDIC.
How would we use targeted guarantees to allay concerns about excess cash use? There's a lot of questions here. And to, you know, there are a lot of things we've been thinking about, and what we want to hear from you today is what you think would the priorities would be in order to go about setting expectations appropriately in public about how we would execute Title II, so that if and when we do have to have that announcement on Friday night, ideally Friday night, that people are in a position to receive it, understand it, and say, yeah, that works. And we can see how this will happen. Of course, there will be doubters, but there's a lot of things going on.
So
that's the plan, guys.
Here it is, right? I mean, she literally says it, and it all happened, right? And again, this is why we cover this stuff. Months ago, you guys could have started preparing yourselves, you know, moving money into gold and silver, making whatever you want to play into Bitcoin, whatever, real estate, etc., getting your money out of this system that they control, and also getting as much cash on hand as possible. As Catherine Austin Fitz likes to talk about, cash is king, making sure that you're making withdrawals, keeping cash on hand because they don't want you to use it. But you hear what she said at the beginning there, which is the targeted guarantees. And that's exactly what the Biden administration has done over the past 24 hours. Targeted guarantees. We're going to step in. Don't worry about it. Your money is safe. Don't take it out now. Okay, what we're telling you is we've got it under control. Your deposits are safe. The federal government, the Fed is here on a white horse to ride in. You don't have to take your money out. Don't use cash. You're fine. Targeted guarantees.
Yeah, exactly.
And on a Friday night. I mean, like, okay. Right. And Biden says the FDIC takes over these banks, right? They are taking over these banks now, right? The feds and the regulators are taking over these banks. So they're taking control of the 8th and 7th and 6th largest banks in the United States. It's happening. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, and it seems to only be select banks, you know, like it's going to be only banks that they choose, which is them, like you said, choosing the winners and losers. So it's like, what if I'm in a credit union? You know, what if I'm in this small local bank?
Yeah.
Am I just screwed? Like,
well, it really depends, of course, like what kind of banking, how most of these smaller banks are, of course, subsidiaries of larger banks, right? And depending on how they're broken up and separated.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. At South by Southwest conference is happening right now. And all the panels that were there, the reporting is that all the panels were talking about artificial intelligence and other things, they all got scrapped. almost all of the panels devolved into discussions about the banking system and Silicon Valley Bank, and like, and all of these venture capitalists, all of these people who were there, like worried about funding startups and all of these things, are like, how can I not, I need my money. I need to like not be a part of a startup anymore.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The Biden administration and the Federal Reserve want you off of cash, and they don't want you using paper money and coins. They can't track you. They can't tax you, right? You get money under the table, they can't tax you. They don't know that the lawn boy got paid money to mow the lawns in the neighborhood. They want you to move to a digital U.S. dollar, a central bank digital currency they control. With cash and coins, they can't really control it, so they want you using as little of it as possible. And at the end of Biden's speech, he gives us a window into not stopping here. Not stopping here. We'll do whatever it takes. Watch.
Americans can rest assured that our banking system is safe. Your deposits are safe. Let me also assure you, we will not stop at this. We'll do whatever is needed.
Yeah, we'll do whatever is needed. And so, you know, they couch this as all very convenient, right?
I mean, but they're pulling different dollars to fund these dollars. So the consumer dollars that were deposited in these banks from just say Joe Schmo, like you and I, right, put our money in, and that money then no longer exists because the bank collapses. So what the Federal Reserve can do is use wholesale dollars that they have access. It's not the same as consumer dollars. And so they are taking a different set of currency to rescue this other set of currency that has disappeared. But that does not mean that the currency that's disappeared will not be felt as a loss as a whole on the economy.
Right.
So it's not really a fix. It's a power move.
Right. And as Peter Schiff said today, he said the idea that you're not going to feel it is a load of garbage.
Yes.
Because you're going to feel it in another way. Your taxes might not go up on your personalized taxes, but the cost of everything else will. Right. Because if they're going to print money artificially.
Yes.
That's inflation. Right. They're going to continue to create this artificial economy that doesn't really exist. It's propped up by really the full faith and credit of the United States government and using this central bank digital currency move. And this is what it is. So this is all orchestrated.
And not to mention the fact that it's caused the dollar to lose value internationally, mm-hmm. which also affects all of us because now the dollar has been devalued.
Well, which we're going to get to in a minute.
Yes.
We're going to deep dive what this means for the U.S. dollar and the rise of China in just a moment here, because it's all so important to the future of your family and taking care of your family. If you're not paying attention to this, like, I'm telling you guys, like, you're watching this in action, and what, well, you know, your future retirement and how you're planning for your children or just being able to pay your bills. Go ahead, David.
I just want to say too, also, you know, we're programmed already. Like, it doesn't matter if they come out with a government backed central, like, you know, currency or whatever, because we're already using Venmo, Cash App and things like that. And all they have to do is regulate those companies that we're already using. So we're already almost there. Like, how many of us right. actually use cash these days? Not a lot.
Right. And this is why, you know, because they keep telling us that it's dirty, it's less convenient. They're moving us to, you know, contactless and all of these things on purpose. So you're right. I was even thinking about that, like Venmo. We're already there in many ways anyway. Paying the babysitter, right? Now you pay the babysitter or whatever in America using Venmo or whatever, instead of like handing them cash.
Yeah.
I'll just Venmo this to you. And then, of course, that's a taxable event, right? So
right.
now it's being tracked by the government.
I released Venmo and canceled my account after I canceled PayPal because they're owned by PayPal.
Yeah.
Well, because I don't want to be fined for a misinformation.
So they're fine with that, because then what they're going to do is release their own version of Venmo. So it'll be the U.S. just like they've done. They're doing just like they've done in Ukraine. Right.
Yeah.
That'll be their own digital transformation in the United States. So, and they're all couching this as a convenience, right? The convenience that it could speed up payment transactions, improve financial stability, increase economic data. Taxing, so they'll know everything. They'll also tell you about, you're going to save money on your transaction fees, right? Because they're going to use their own version of a blockchain. So it's going to save on all of these things. And all of that might actually be true. But, it portends something deeper and worse. What?
I want to say, and one way they could really sell it hard and make us all adopt it is if they said no more 3 to 5 business days to get your money back. When you have a transaction that the bank is done with, you get it immediately if you take this.
Yeah.
Well, that's because of the infrastructure of banking, whereas, you know, any cryptocurrency could already solve that with instantaneous transactions. But,
Yeah.
That hasn't been a selling point. I guess consumers don't seem to understand it.
Yeah. I mean, unless they're doing large financial transactions internationally where they're like, normally it'll take a few hours and I'm making this big purchase, this big wire transaction. Most Americans are not doing that. You know, they want to be able to get their direct deposits from their employer, and they don't want to wait 2 to 3 days.
This is like the thing that kills me the most is that, you know, cryptocurrency and Bitcoin and all of these, they have the same potential to subvert this centralized government power. But most people think that it's just too complicated for the average person, which is why it will not supersede a digital currency. And I don't know how to feel about that.
A central bank digital currency.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let us know your thoughts on that part of it. Do you agree? I mean, because I know there's so many people that always say, well, Bitcoin's the answer. You know, Bitcoin's the answer. And I agree in a large part. I think it's, you know, but however, again, if you have the government stepping in and regulating it or trying to minimize exposure to that and they want their own version of it, you're not going to win. I mean, I just don't see how you're going to win up against these behemoths.
Unless... Yeah, I want to believe that cryptocurrency is the punk rock that could take on the man. But I'm not optimistic about it.
Well, like I said,
my mind, please.
When we were doing Morning Invest, you know, I said, like, there's no way, like, you're going to have to reverse engineer the system, because if you just say, hey, we're just going to adopt Bitcoin or whatever, you're going to have to create debit cards and stuff that put it into the hands the way people are already used to using it. You can't expect people to learn a whole new system of money. So it's like, that would be the hardest part of it, is taking it backwards first to then move it forward. Whereas they're going to have an advantage with the government because they can do that. They can put it in the debit cards. They can get the banks on board to do this for them. So we'll be stuck in and have to take it.
Yeah, and you'll have no other choice. So this is all orchestrated under both Trump and the Biden regulators. You know, you can blame Biden, you can blame Trump, you can blame Obama. It doesn't really matter at the end of the day. It's a distraction, because under both Trump and Biden, regulators and the Fed encouraged banks to hold treasury bonds. They both did, which lose enormous value when interest rates rise. So unlike 2008, when all of these mortgage loans were causing the problem and the banks defaulted on them, this time they're failing because of rapidly rising interest rates that the Fed controls. So the Fed controls these, right? And the inflation that they created is the cause of these bank failures. Again, all orchestrated and controlled. And this morning, Congressman Thomas Massie, tweeted something that I think tells us everything we need to know. Take a look at this tweet. He said, just got off a Zoom meeting with the Fed, Treasury, FDIC, House, and the Senate. A Democrat senator essentially asked whether there was a program in place to censor information on social media that could lead to a run on the banks. So,
to which I got up and ran around screaming around the house. That should terrify everybody.
Right. But here's the problem. If they wanted to suppress this, it would already be suppressed. If social media, Google, and all of this big, you know, deep state cabal wanted this message of bank runs suppressed, it would be.
We wouldn't
be allowed to do YouTube videos.
But
on
they
it.
Want the power to suppress it. That's what's scarier. That's not that they would do it this time because the cat's out of the bag and maybe there's a method to that madness. Yes, I see where you're going with this. But the fact that they could then use this collapse to gain more power, the same way that they use the vaccination program to now take this power out of doctors, of what they can and cannot say.
Well, that's my point, though, right? So around COVID or the Ukraine war or any number of issues where it's been suppressed and kept away from you so you don't learn the truth about it, social media and the deep state has an amazing mobility opportunity where they roll out and they do this immediately. So if there was a real big concern about bank runs, you wouldn't see YouTube videos on it. You wouldn't see, I mean, arguably you would still see tweets if Elon Musk is still there, but you wouldn't see it all over the nightly newscasts.
Yeah.
It would be suppressed. Nord Stream, right? Here's an example, right? It's not even, it shows up on no nightly newscasts. It's largely suppressed. COVID, all of these things. And so I think they want you to know about this so that you are more inclined to want to move to a central bank digital currency.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see where you're going with that. But then I think about all of the people who then study tax law and think about, like, how do I maximize my money? How do I, you know, and those people now have, you can remove the ability to thrive inside the rules of a system. Like we think about our friend Tom Wheelwright at the Wealthability Network, great podcast if you want to talk about wealth maximization. He wouldn't be able to say anything that he says now based on these rules, because he tries to help people make money and pay less taxes by the rules, that there would be no more room for interpretation at all. It's just, you know, pay maximum amount of taxes, shut up, do the work, be a robot.
Well, let us know your thoughts on this. Drop us a comment below and let us know your thoughts on moving to a central bank digital currency. We've got more news to get to here on this Monday night. So glad you're all here and subscribed. We're going to talk about the fleecing and the fleeing U.S. dollar and how, the value of the U.S. dollar is really plummeting. As it relates to a reserve currency around the world. We've been seeing the fractures and the fissures on that. Tucker Carlson is going to be joining us to talk about the January 6th video footage release and the backlash around that. We're also going to look at the CDC versus the Florida Surgeon General and what's going on there, the back and forth between, politics and politicians.
Yeah.
Politics.
The war of hyperlinks as it relates to the vaccination program. Well, because we're talking about financial literacy, it's a good time to tell you about our friends over at Rocket Money. Rocket Money was formerly known as Truebill, and it is an all-in-one financial literacy platform that helps you not just manage your subscriptions, but also all the activity inside of your banking. So what it does is links to your banking accounts and your credit cards, and also it searches your accounts for subscription services that you may not be using that you have signed up for. So you'll get regular alerts saying, hey, do you want to be signed up to, say, Financial Times or Wall Street Journal? Did you know you're paying for those things? And then you can decide, yes, I still use those, or, oh gosh, I forgot and I'm paying for that every month. If you decide you don't want those things, what they'll do is unsubscribe for you so you don't have the hassle of figuring out how to cancel an account, a lot of times canceling accounts are such a pain in the butt. They'll do it for you. But not only that, they're going to alert you to maybe when you got paid. They're going to alert you to large transactions. They will give you a summary of your financial health for the month. It's really great because I truly believe that money is an energetic currency and it goes to people who are willing to take good care of it. So let Rocket Money help you. Over 3 million users have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing away your money, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/redacted. That's rocketmoney.com/redacted. One more time, I'll say it, rocketmoney.com/redacted. Please give them a visit as a thank you for being a part of our show.
And thanks to everyone who's subscribing. So if you subscribe to the show during the show live, your name will pop right up here on the big screen. Let's see if anyone comes through here and subscribes while we're doing the show. But your name will pop up. If you wonder that what's going on here, that's that. And some people also wonder about the lightning and thunder in the background. Well, they don't hear the thunder, but that's because we put our redacted logo up in lightning every, like, I don't know. Is it like every few minutes it pops up?
I guess
up
so. We just want you to be excited.
I think it's on a 5-minute loop.
Yeah.
Because we're excited.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, we're excited to tell you about this next story. While the U.S. banks start to play out the sequel of the bailout of 2008, the rest of the world seems to legitimately be thinking about moving away from a dollar-centric economy. In recent weeks, we've seen many countries exploring the idea of either creating a new currency, such as South American countries that say, let's not have a dollar-based currency anymore. Let's have a South American centralized currency. This is not pinned on the U.S. dollar, and they're looking to other superpowers perhaps to pin their currencies on. Over the weekend, Sudan announced that it is interested in ditching the U.S. dollar so that it can trade freely with Russia. Due to Russian sanctions, they have not been able to trade what they want to trade. And maybe you're thinking, well, that's not very threatening because you don't hear much about, you know, a big Sudanese economy. But Sudan is resource rich, even if its economy is not. Sudan has oil. And guess what else? According to Encyclopedia Britannica, Sudan has other known mineral deposits that are not all exploited, including gold, uranium, chromite, gypsum, mica, marble, and iron ore, all things that are going to become increasingly necessary in the modern economy. Do you think the U.S. wants to see those resources moved freely between Russia and Sudan?
No, they do not. No, they do not.
Without taking a cut through the dollar exchange?
Of course. No, we need those desperately. And particularly when I just talk about iron ore specifically, but also uranium. Absolutely, we want these. We're not going to give these over.
Well, that has already been happening. In fact, according to the RT today, in fact, Khartoum is interested in increasing this. That's a Sudanese politician is interested in increasing cooperation with Russian businesses in mineral exploration and mining. According to Siraj, a number of Russian exploration and mining companies are already operating in Sudan. And the African country expects to attract more Russian investments to the sector, with several agreements already under discussion. In fact, last month, Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov visited Sudan, where he held talks with his Sudanese counterparts, Ali al-Sadiq, and other top officials. Siraj called Lavrov's visit an important milestone in the development of Sudan Russian bilateral relations. Okay, so that's worth watching. Definitely. Guess who else may want to ditch the U.S. dollar? Iran. This article doesn't exactly say that they want to ditch the U.S. dollar, but it does show an appetite for a new type of currency, especially because 2 weeks ago, the Iranian rial dropped to an all-time low against the dollar. But guess what? Over the weekend, Iran agreed to a peace deal with Saudi Arabia, and the currency jumped back up, according to an Iran International News. Iran's battered currency, the rial, rose more than 10% on Saturday following this agreement that we're going to talk about around Saudi Arabia. The rial has risen 25% since February 26th, when it dropped to a historic low of 600,000 to one U.S. dollar. The visit by the head of the U.N. nuclear watchdog, the IAEA, to Tehran on March 4th helped the rial rally, seen as a possible opening to resolve the country's nuclear dispute with the U.S. The restoration of ties with Saudi Arabia provided another significant boost. So that's interesting, because there wasn't much reporting around Iran moving towards cooperation with the IAEA to patch up the nuclear deal. That's good to know. And I think the U.S. hasn't said much about this because they don't want to actually put the nuclear deal back in place,
right?
Because Iran is being too friendly with Russia.
Well, also think about it. What's interesting, I didn't realize, and we should have, right, but that Iran is so heavily tied to the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency, right?
Yes.
Like, think about, they've been called the axis of evil. Like, how long do you have to be? It's like, I don't know. How long do you have to be in this bad relationship before you make a move on this, you know?
Well, right. That's all detailed in a great book called The History of American Hegemony, about how the U.S. actually made moves that were underhanded in order to base petrol on the U.S. dollar. And
right.
It's the hidden hand of American democracy, hegemony. I'm getting that wrong. So let's just move on. These countries have been turning to China, and in fact, this was a big diplomatic win over the weekend when China brokered a peace deal between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And this is a role that the U.S. typically really likes to play, is being the go-between important world powers. Here is the New York Times, usually a White House mouthpiece, even admitting that this looks bad for the U.S., that they weren't even invited to the party. Take a look at this. The New York Times is saying this brokering a reapproachment between the Middle Eastern rivals underscores the Chinese leader's ambition of offering an alternative to a U.S.-led world order. I feel like that's a really big subtitle, admitting that the world order is around the U.S.
Right.
And that the entire world is saying, we may not actually need them.
No, I mean, it's an admission, finally, an awareness of this. All you need, again, literally the headlines on Drudge today are, China is now lasering Hawaii. What does that mean? Scanning Hawaii for a possible attack. China could strike Pearl Harbor. Like, all of the concerns about China, again, all comes back to the American hegemony. The talk of, like, war provoking China. It's about the U.S. dollar. It's about the U.S. dollar is a reserve currency of the world, and it's under attack.
Yes.
And all you need to see are these stories. I mean, China, Sudan, Iran, the list of South American countries that we've been going through, all trying to move away from the U.S. dollar.
Right.
And why wouldn't they? I mean, if you're with the U.S. dollar, that gives us the ability to sanction you whenever we want to and just completely turn your economy upside down. Why would anybody want us to have that power over their economy?
Yeah, I mean, if there was a powerful alternative, right? I mean, this is why Mexico moving towards, you know, trying to be in the BRICS nations. It's like if there was an alternative that could stand on these commodities and strength, like...
But this is a chicken or egg phenomenon, because in order to break with the United States, you have to be able to suffer the sanctions that the United States will slap on you because you've insulted them. And so it really becomes a situation where, I mean, there's almost nothing more dangerous than someone who's powerful that's losing power.
Right, right.
And I feel like that's what we're going to
see. That's exactly what was happening right now.
And so the New York Post went as far as to say this, that as China becomes the broker while Joe Biden is the joker, that's kind of a good one, right?
That's pretty good.
That's fun. We'll give that headline writer a... I failed the headline writing section in journalism school because they were like, it was...
You'd never be able to work at the New York Post, which is like the king of headlines.
No, yeah. I don't do blurbism. I don't do catchy one-liners. I write essays. So yes, this is especially embarrassing for President Biden after he personally intervened to get the crown prince... his whole trial for murder dismissed. We refer you on to that report where we showed you the court filing where the president personally intervened in that court case. And now they can't use the United States for diplomacy. They decided to use China. Even Israel, our bestie, is showing disappointment with the U.S. for this. Here's according to the Times of Israel saying, we're blaming Joe Biden for this. There's a feeling of American and Israeli weakness. So Saudi Arabia turned to other channels. That's the quote from a senior official from the Netanyahu government. Now, in fact, President Netanyahu had tried to do this himself. He tried to broker a peace deal between Iran and Saudi in 2021 when he was previously in office, and nothing ever came to it. Now, this entire ordeal is leading to two speculations that this may be causing. One, will this end the war in Yemen? And two, will this lead to Saudi and Iran joining BRICS? In which case, again, the U.S. is going to act even more like a dangerous toddler losing power.
Well, all you need to do, just look at Mexico over the past 72 hours, intimating that they want to join the BRICS countries, right? I just did a whole thing on this. And so they are actively saying we want to join BRICS. We're open to it. Then what happens in the United States? Suddenly you hear Lindsey Graham, you hear Dan Crenshaw, other members of Congress basically saying, we'd like to start sending military in intervention into Mexico.
Even Trump said it in his speech.
Oh yeah, Trump even, because of the cartels.
Yeah.
Really, right now? Now? Really? Okay. Just literally within a day of them saying they want to join the BRICS nations.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, let's explore this Yemen bit a little bit more, because this is a war we've talked about a lot. It's not a sexy one, does not get people to change their profiles like the Ukrainian flag. People seem to be okay with the fact that the death toll is much higher there. But in fact, there is potential for this deal between Saudi and Iran to de-escalate violence in Yemen. And here is why. The war in Yemen, since its eruption in 2014, has been a battlefield where the two warring sides were backed by Riyadh on one hand and Tehran on the other. Saudi Arabia backed the internationally recognized Yemeni government and formed an Arab coalition to support it militarily against the Iran-backed Houthi militia. It has long been established by both Arab and Western governments that Iran provided weapons to the Houthi militia, which the latter used to carry out cross-border attacks, mainly targeting Saudi Arabia and the UAE. U.S. and British navies in the region have repeatedly over the years intercepted many shipments of Iranian-made weapons on vessels heading to Yemen. So does this peace deal mean that we'll stop? This will all stop? We don't know for sure. But Tehran did say that they would stop encouraging cross-border attacks on Saudi Arabia by the Houthi government. And they have a financial incentive to stop this, and they have allies by way of China and Russia for actually stopping it. So will they hold to their word? I don't know. And in fact, Antony Blinken, the U.S. Secretary of State, kind of gave a we'll believe it when we see it response, like, right, they're not that trustworthy, so we'll see. Whereas if the United States had brokered the deal, they'd be like, we did it. We ended the war. And so, okay. We can't prove that. That's my speculation. As for the second question, will this lead to a stronger BRICS? Well, some say that it will at least lead to a weaker NATO. Here is Pepe Escobar. He's a Brazilian geopolitical journalist for The Cradle, saying that it shows the world that you don't wage peace with war. He says, Iran, Saudi Arabia, China was the privileged messenger, not the discredited divide and rule empire of plunder, by which he means the United States.
U.S., yeah.
This will be positive for Syria, Iran, Lebanon, and Yemen, and this reduces NATO to dust. Peace is not war. And maybe that's a bit optimistic, but this will have major power shifting consequences. And in fact, it is already, because China, just in the aftermath of the successful deal, announced that they will host a summit of Iran and the Gulf Cooperation Council, the GCC countries, later this year. The six GCC countries include Kuwait, Qatar, Oman, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, and the United Arab Emirates. So again, prepare for Western countries that are not invited to go full on tantrum mode on this. And again, I just want to reiterate that we can sort of see a power shift, but I can find it also a little bit scary, because it will be dangerous as one country loses power to another. They will not just cede it.
Well, we're already seeing
one collection of countries.
We're already seeing the machinations of that, right? Which is in Ukraine. We're seeing it play out right now. We're seeing it, right? So you're using an opportunity in Ukraine as a proxy to provoke the bear because of Russia's rise, right? And the same thing is true of China. I mean, looking at the military bases, yeah, and the provocation of China. So, and I mean, this is going to get worse before it gets better. I think that's the most poignant thing you said was, you know, what did you say? That there's nothing more dangerous than someone who's losing power, right?
Yeah, a powerful entity losing power.
So you see that with a toddler, right? When they're like flopping
on the
floor.
But a toddler is already powerless. We're talking about like, I don't know, Joffrey from Game of Thrones losing power.
Right.
That's my analysis. I'm sorry if that offends anybody comparing
that's
the U.S.
analysis
to Joffrey, but that's how I feel.
You do, because, I mean, and you're seeing it right now. I mean, yeah. You're just seeing it. You're seeing it all over the place, and you see it throughout history, thousands of years of history. When regimes are collapsing, they do crazy things. I mean, look at what was happening with the Nazis.
Yeah.
All you need to see is what they were doing at Auschwitz as they were collapsing, as the Allies were descending upon them. Right? There's all sorts of history here with that. So
yeah,
let us know your thoughts on this in the chat below. We are redacted. Thank you guys so much for joining us. We got a new rebel who just joined us, new subscriber,
J-Dab.
Well, J-Dab, thank you for joining the rebellion.
Hey, Jason Alexander subscribed earlier.
Jason Alexander of Seinfeld
fame.
Yeah,
I saw the name
Great.
Up there. So
last week we got Megan Fox, and I was wondering if it was the Megan Fox. Interesting.
Megan Fox is a fan of the show.
Yeah. I once got a book review on Goodreads liked by Don Cheadle. And I was like, is that the real Don Cheadle?
Maybe.
I couldn't tell. So
that can't be a common name, is it?
I don't know. And it was a book about sexuality. And I was like, oh, interesting. Yes, yeah. I read books like that.
Hotel Rwanda.
Yeah. I don't want to say the name of it because Clayton will kick me under the table.
Yeah.
It's like becoming literate, but it rhymes with something else. And I just want to say I recommend the book.
Yeah, read about it.
I see where you're going.
Yeah, if you want to learn about these things.
I ate my own placenta.
No, that's not. It's not about reproduction. It's about sexuality.
Speaking of deep fakes, have you seen? I mean, this is going to get worse before it gets better. There's like deep fakes all over the internet today. On Twitter, where they have like President Biden talking about the banking collapse, and it's like they're fake audio messages, but it's all like deep fake stuff where it's like caught on tape. So people need to be really careful, because this is only going to get worse, where it has like allegedly it's President Biden saying on camera or on tape, like, let the banks collapse and let the money run and all this kind of stuff.
Mm.
But the way it's framed, people are like, oh, my God, he said it? Really?
Yeah.
It's like, no, hold on a second. This is a deep fake. You need to be careful about this stuff.
Yes, I have been fooled by things like that before.
So Don Cheadle, watch out. Yeah, all right, we've got more news to get to here on the show. We are going to have a discussion with Tucker Carlson, who's joining us to talk about the January 6th footage. If you missed some of our discussion, we're going to play a portion of that, which is, you know, that you might not have seen, which is about the fallout from the January 6th footage and what they had access to and what the federal government's involvement was on that day.
Plus, we're going to talk about the Surgeon General of Florida and his dispute with the CDC and the FDA over COVID vaccines. We are going to do that on Rumble. So please make sure that you join us over on that platform, because it has been a war of competing hyperlinks to studies. Some of those studies we can say on this platform, and some of those studies we simply cannot. Medical studies, can't say them on some platforms. That's the world we live in. So make sure you are prepared to join us on Rumble if you are not already.
So our stream will continue uninterrupted on Rumble. We'll just have to say goodbye on YouTube. And not after Tucker joins us, we're going to do that. But so, but you need to join us there on rumble.com/redacted so that we can continue that stream. Sorry, let me turn off my sound here.
I make sure mine's muted too. I already was, but somebody didn't mute before the show.
I did. I had it muted earlier. It's weird when I have this thing plugged in. I have to unplug it now because like sound is coming through again for some reason. It's frustrating. I don't know what's happening here. Because I don't know. Got like a WhatsApp message earlier.
All right.
But we want to tell you about our friends over at Indeed, because the thing about running your own business is every single hire counts right now. No hiring partner understands that like Indeed. Indeed is a hiring platform where you can attract, interview, and hire all in one place. And I know our audience uses Indeed because I see you in the comments. You said, we're a small business. We use Indeed to hire because it's fantastic. Don't spend hours on multiple job sites looking for candidates with the right skills when you can do it all with Indeed. Find top talent fast with Indeed's suite of powerful hiring tools like Indeed Instant Match, assessments, and virtual interviews. If you hate waiting, Indeed's U.S. data shows that over 80% of Indeed employers find quality candidates whose resume on Indeed matches their own description the moment they sponsor a job. What I love about Indeed is just how it matches and gives you these resumes, so you don't have to go hunting and pecking and looking for all of these things. It's right there, and you can choose the right candidate and save tons of money. And then you can invite candidates to apply through the Instant Match. They're three times more likely to apply to your job than candidates who only see it in the search bar. So that's what the data says, according to Indeed. So right now, Indeed knows when you're growing your own business, you have to make every dollar count. That's why with Indeed, you only pay for quality applications that match your must-have job requirements. So visit Indeed.com/redacted to start hiring now. Just go to Indeed.com/redacted. Indeed.com/redacted. Terms and conditions apply. Cost per application pricing not available for everybody. Need to hire? You need Indeed. All right. Well, over the weekend, I had a chance to sit down with a friend of the show, Tucker Carlson, for a wide-ranging interview on a number of topics. But most notably, we talked about the January 6th video footage that was released to his show and his producers, and had a chance to go through a lot of that data and video, 44,000 hours of footage. And one of the big lingering questions, of course, in all of this is about the federal involvement on that day. So here now is my interview with Tucker Carlson on January 6th. I do want to talk about January 6th. So the January 6th footage, when Kevin McCarthy came to you and your team about going through this footage, did he ever, we're talking about caveats and conditions, what you just talked about with Fox. Did Kevin McCarthy come to you with any sort of caveats or conditions? Chuck Schumer has said, you know, that Tucker's been cherry picking things he wants to show on the show, which is laughable, of course, because in my opinion, we got to see already cherry picked coverage during the January 6th hearing. So it's pretty hilarious and hypocritical to me. But anyway, your response to these cherry picking comments, and were there sort of any conditions about, here, we're going to hand over 44,000 hours of footage? What was your thought on that? I mean, knowing you, like, holy shit, what? We're going to look at 44,000 hours of footage?
Well, we've been pushing for it since the first week. You know, one of my children was in the building when that happened.
Wow.
One of my kids works in the Congress and called me. I was getting my hair cut. Ashley Babbitt had just been shot. He heard the gunshots because he was right there. As an employee, not as a protester,
right,
to be clear. But so I had been interested in it. And of course, I'm from Washington, so I had been interested in it. And since the first week, I had said, we should, you know, let's find out what really happened. Everyone's characterizing it, in my instinct as a journalist, but just also as a person, is let's know more. And they never turned it over. And for the record, I had been highly, highly critical of McCarthy, of Kevin McCarthy, for the last, I don't know, ever since I've been on TV, I've been critical of McCarthy. So we're not friends, for sure. Why did he give it to my show? Probably because I asked. I think we're the only people who asked. I mean, maybe there were others. I'm not aware of anyone else who asked. We asked. And here's the process in one sentence. We sent a bunch of producers up to Capitol Hill. They were they came with a bunch of different stories they were interested in. They got a computer system, the use of the Capitol computer system, which allowed them to pull up separate rooms by, you know, location and time. They did not have facial recognition software, unfortunately, but they had this system which allowed, you know, what was happening in the speaker's lobby at this hour, and they watched all the tape. Many, many hours. And of the 41,000, you know, a huge percentage, the majority, you know, the Capitol complex is enormous. It includes the Library of Congress. There are security cameras in, you know, closets. You know, a lot of this stuff was just empty rooms. But of the relevant footage, we're not aware. And trust me, we spent a lot of time trying to figure out if we were being manipulated here. I don't think there's any way they could have manipulated it. It is definitely possible that we didn't find relevant footage, for sure. That's always possible. But the two things I know are no one got in our way, including the Capitol Police, who later denounced us. We ran all of our footage by Capitol Police before putting it on TV and said, just to be clear, you are saying this could be a security risk. Is it a security risk? And only in one case, he said, we don't want you to show the details of this door. So we blurred the door.
The Jacob Chansley video. Yeah, that blurred section of the Jacob Chansley.
Exactly, yeah. Right. And I announced that on the air. That's the only change we made. But we vetted this, not because I thought it was a security risk. It's a public building that has tours through it every day. I thought the whole thing was ridiculous. So this security risk bullshit. But I went along with it anyway, just to say that we did. Okay. So we could never be accused of putting anyone's life at risk. Absurd as that claim is. And then we put it on the air. The main problem we had was we didn't have facial recognition software. So I'm allowing for the possibility, I would say the distinct possibility, that we missed stuff. I'm sure we missed a lot of stuff. We did our best and we spent a long time doing it, but 3 weeks. And the guys who did it, the producers who did it, were just absolutely fried. I saw them when they finished and they both looked like they went through a war. Just like staring at a screen for 3 weeks is a lot. But no, we had full cooperation from Capitol Police and from the Speaker's office. But what we couldn't do, which is the main thing I wanted to do, which was show that there were FBI agents in the crowd. And there were, and the FBI has admitted that. But it's obvious to me they played a pivotal role. Ray Epps clearly was working for somebody. He was not a pure civilian. He encouraged violence. And then the January 6th committee and Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney and Benny Thompson and Adam Schiff, they all defended him. He's their friend. What? He's not an insurrectionist. He's an ally. Like, explain that. It violates common sense. Okay.
Right.
But we couldn't answer a lot of these questions because we couldn't identify the people positively. And because we couldn't put their video on the screen because what if we're wrong? I mean, right. I tried to be as responsible as we could be. Like, there were a lot of things going on there, as you know, that were clearly part of something that was not organic. It was very obvious. Guys with earpieces, breaking things, and then running away when they're filmed. Like, what is that? And some of these people are so obviously cops. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, you know?
Right.
Some, like, bodybuilder type with short hair and a MAGA hat, and he's kind of, oh, spare me. A guy with a gun. You know, this was, you know, I know what's going on here. A lot of this was clearly influenced by federal agents or informants. It was, okay? But I didn't want to suggest that someone was a federal agent or informant unless I knew for a fact, because you really could get someone in trouble, right? If you're like, this is the guy, and like, but we don't know. I do know it's very clear that something very strange is going on with Ray Epps. We've named him repeatedly. We've invited him on the show repeatedly. I mean, don't lie to my face. Like, the Ray Epps thing is
right.
You know, isn't organic. Sorry.
Well, and we know from the Proud Boys trial this week that an FBI agent was caught lying on the stand in front of a judge, right? Turns out that the FBI hid evidence from defense attorneys. I mean, this came out in trial. This is not just us, you know, bullshitting here. And that according to the defense attorneys, unless they're lying in this, and that's possible, there was initially thought maybe there were criminal informants there that wanted this information scrubbed, removed from the records. We now know that it actually might have been an agent who wanted this information scrubbed from the records. And of course, we're wondering, oh my gosh, in these 41 hours that Tucker's going to have here, will we be able to see any more evidence of the feds' involvement? So it appears without that facial recognition. What's the next step then? If we don't have that, what will happen with this footage? Will anyone else be able to kind of go through it with facial recognition? Will Congress be able to do it?
What you need is crowdsourcing here. I mean, you need this to be in as many hands as possible. So McCarthy has said, and I don't have ownership of this footage. It's publicly owned, of course. It's not owned by the Congress. They don't own anything. It's insane, actually, how they treat the U.S. government like they own it. I mean, that's like your housekeeper pretending she owns your bank account. Like, these are our servants, okay? But they get these attitudes, and it's hard to disabuse them of them. But he has said, you know, we're going to turn this over to the public. And that can't come soon enough, as far as I'm concerned. We're a primetime TV show. We're not, you know, in the fabled news division. We're an opinion show. So, you know, we've kind of reached the limits, and it was only our show. Like, there was no other element of the company I work for, and there was no other news organization helping in any way. So I'm not whining, but we've kind of done what we could do. And from my perspective, like, the core claims about January 6th were a lie. It was not a violent insurrection, a deadly insurrection. It was a violent political demonstration, one of many in the year in which it took place. From January of 2020 to January of 2021, there were a lot of violent political demonstrations, including one at the White House where cops were injured than at January 6th. Though if we could kind of leave it there and stop lying about it, I'm not defending vandalism or hooliganism or violence at January 6th. Of course not. I abhor that. Just don't tell me it's the same as 9/11. If you start talking like that, if you start lying to me, I'm going to push back. Clearly, Nancy Pelosi wanted this to happen. There was a lot of intel that it was going to happen. That intelligence was kept from line officers at the Capitol Police. I know that because I've talked to them, and including some of their supervisors, and they all say the same thing. We were not given this intelligence. Well, why is that? They were the front line in this. Why would you keep it from them? And I, of course, the answer is you would only do that if you wanted it to be ugly and discrediting for the political party associated with it. And that's obvious. That's obviously what happened. So, like, I'm a conspiracy nut, right? No, I probably should be a little more. I'm way too conventional. That's my problem is that you always used to talk about UFOs when we worked together. And I'd be like, wow, Clayton on his UFO thing. Turned out you were totally right on all of it. And that was like a huge lesson to me. You were just more open-minded than I was. And so it's not a matter of like falling for crazy theories. It's a matter of letting the evidence guide your perceptions. Okay. Like, what are we looking at here? Take three steps back. What does this look like? Ray Epps telling people to commit violence, but he's not prosecuted. Okay. Well, the evidence suggests that this is not what it looks like. Obviously. Same with UFOs. Same with the Kennedy assassination. All these areas that are like verboten. You're not allowed to ask questions. Well, why aren't you allowed to ask questions?
Right.
You know, and the last thing I'll say is like, if they're not offended by craziness, they're not offended by conspiracy. If you go on TV tonight and say, I think the earth is flat, people just laugh at you. They don't care if you think the earth is flat. It's not a threat to anyone. But if you say like, what actually happened with Building 7? Like, that is weird, right? It doesn't, like, what is that?
Right.
If you were to say something like that on television, they'd flip out. They would flip out. So you'd like lose your job over that. Why? It's my country.
Right.
This is an attack on my country. Can I ask you, like, I don't really understand. Do buildings actually collapse? No, maybe they do. I don't know. But like, why can't I ask questions about that? Anything you're not allowed to ask questions about is something you should be asking more questions about. As far as I'm concerned.
So our thanks to Tucker for joining us on the show. And the response, of course, to the January 6th video footage being released to Tucker Carlson has been, I mean, crazy on the left, freaking out like he's traitorous, treasonous for going through this video.
What surprises me that it continues to be personal about why would he do this? And very little, if not none, of the response is about why is this a conundrum? Why does this footage look different than the ones we've already seen?
Right. No discussion of that.
Which should be the discussion. Because, right. again, I should not have a preconceived notion, given that I was not there, that it was violent. And I should not have a preconceived notion that it wasn't. I should just want to see. And he says that the only reason we have it is because we asked. And nobody else asked. Go ahead, David.
Well, I was just going to say, I think it's just, they're just trying to save face. They're hugely humiliated because it just shows how doctored the footage we saw during the January 6th committee actually was. So they're like, we've got to take back that narrative or we're going to look like fools because we made it look like it was something that it absolutely was not.
So I went today to listen to Pod Save America, which is a Democratic podcast. The two hosts worked for the Obama administration. So anytime there is what I want to say, blue MAGA, they're going to be the mouthpieces for it. These hosts. And what I mean by that is just unapologetically Democratic and will not ever address the issues that are sort of lingering. Right. And so what you would hope anyone would say is like, yeah, why is this different? We should see all of it then. But no, they went full on Tucker Carlson attack. And here are the three reasons. It's a bit lengthy, but I'd like you to hear it. And they say, why do you think that Tucker is doing this? What is his personal angle here? And they came up with three reasons. This is Dan Pfeiffer from Pod Save America. Listen,
that's what was happening.
So Tucker could spend his time, his hour every night, lying about all kinds of shit that's more believable than trying to convince people that January 6th didn't happen. Why do you think he has become so obsessed with this issue?
I think there are three reasons. One is he is a greedy grifter, and he is in the outrage business. And he gets attention, he gets money from being outrageous. And the thing about being in the outrage business is you have to get more outrageous every day. You have to up the dosage every single day to keep it going. And this is how you get from being angry about people saying happy holidays to great replacement theory and insurrections are good. And so he just is grabbing the whatever third rail he can find, he will grab to get attention. And this is clearly one because it is an absolute edge case because there is not among the far, far right or even among like Fox Prime family, but the general consensus, even among Trump loving Republicans, is Donald Trump is not necessarily responsible for what happened, but the violence was bad. And so he has to go take that last one on. The second reason is, and we're going to talk about this, he now has a tremendous need to prove his MAGA bona fides to his audience because he's been caught texting about Donald Trump. And so this is a way to do that. This is the sort of he is sacrificing the credibility he lost long ago to do this. And the third one is Donald Trump's a front runner for the Republican nomination. There's a very real chance he's going to be indicted for his role in January 6th at some point. And so you're going to have to begin creating a permission structure for people who don't like January 6th, but do want to vote for Donald Trump to be able to do those two things. And one way to do that is just throw a bunch of mud at the thing and just throw disinformation at it in the hopes people throw up their arms and say, I don't really know what happened, but I like Donald Trump, so I can vote for him.
Okay, so they think you are so stupid that if you think that Tucker doesn't like Donald Trump, you can't watch this footage because you can only see Tucker as an extension of MAGA.
Which is absurd.
And so if you don't, and so the text bit about him saying, well, you know, I don't like covering Trump anymore. I'm exhausted with this, what have you, is to me makes it more genuine because then he can cover something that he personally disagrees with.
Right. So this idea is that, oh my God, he's a Trump lover. And then these texts reveal that, no, he's
someone with his own personal opinion.
Yeah, and he's covering it impartially, right? But you can't see it. They can't see it that way.
And so if somebody...
by the way, he's written plenty of articles. He's written long articles in the past about Trump. In fact, he has a very funny article where he talks about how he was critical of Trump multiple times and how Trump called him and called him out on something and hung up the phone on him. Like, Tucker wrote a whole article about that. So this whole idea that he's like some Trump lover, when he's written about it in the past, is laughable.
Yes. And that, you know, that he's trying to give Trump voters an excuse to support Trump because they otherwise have a cognitive dissonance that, wow, I believe January 6th was really violent and awful, but I want to vote for Trump, so I need someone to give me this disconnect. And thank you, Tucker, for that. Again, just making voters stupid and manipulable and unable to make a distinction between the fact that maybe this guy has a personal opinion that I don't agree with, but is showing me something that I need to see. I would hope that you feel that way about us, that some of our opinions maybe you don't like or you don't agree with all of them, but at least we can talk about things that are uncomfortable and make everything on the table. I don't want any viewers who are like, whatever they say, I'm just going with it. Not going to think about it, right?
Like the Rush Limbaugh ditto heads. Remember, that was the thing. They called them ditto heads. Just everyone, anything that Rush Limbaugh said, ditto, ditto, ditto. And so that was, you know, and they proudly called themselves ditto heads. Like, I, we don't need that.
Well, and I was going to say, that's the dangers of flag planting. There are people that plant their flag, and no matter what new information comes, they are not going to pull their flag up and move it even an inch to the right or to the left or to the middle or anything because they've already decided what the outcome that they want.
Yeah, right.
And there may be plenty of things that Donald Trump did to sort of put egg on the faces of his supporters that they can, you know, cling to, but that doesn't mean that people can't see nuance. How many Trump voters do you say, I don't like these things about him, but I feel this, right? Most Trump voters actually can distinguish that nuance. They're pretending that they're not, that they're just sort of mouth breathing, tank top wearing, stained t-shirt troglodytes.
Right. Well, or a basket of deplorables, right? Which is what Hillary Clinton labeled individuals who were Trump supporters. And so it's ridiculous because they can't look past this relationship with Trump. And so on the one hand, Tucker has whatever relationship he has with Trump. I don't really care. And then on the other hand, there's all of this video that we've been kept from seeing.
Yeah.
Now we're getting to see it. Can we look critically on this video as to, number one, why were we not allowed to see it?
Mm-hmm.
What sort of narrative is it crushing to now see it? And what is actually in this video? Federal involvement, people that are behind bars in solitary confinement.
Yeah.
You know, without due process, really, who are being held there.
Apply this to another story. Let's take like Gabby Petito or whatever her name was, that influencer that disappeared and then ended up being murdered or whatever. Mm-hmm. You got the whole country behind a story like that. Imagine if there was video evidence that nothing happened. Then all of a sudden, you have video showing a completely different narrative, and it solves the case. It's like everybody wants that. Everybody should want new information to come to light that shows something different so that we can be educated and move on.
Or not even different. We should just want all of it. Even if it shows us the same, we should not be attached to the outcome. Period.
Well, and like we're all attached to the Kennedy assassination outcome, right? And then there was this... Then there was word that somebody named Zapruder had actually filmed. And then years later, finally got our hands on the Zapruder film for the JFK assassination. And when that was first broadcast to the American people, it changed everything, right? What we saw that day, what we knew, what we thought we knew, everything now changed as a result of that film finally coming to light.
Yeah.
And now, we can thank that film for the term conspiracy theorist, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. We had a comment this weekend on the piece that I did about the Fort Detrick lab, COVID lab, and someone said, you should never be a coincidence theorist instead of a conspiracy theorist. Like, everything that we've just laid out is a coincidence or else a conspiracy. And I love that. It's the opposite of a conspiracy theorist is someone who's like, no, that was all coincidence.
Right. Coincidence.
So thank you to the viewer who wrote that. So later on in this podcast, these two Biden mouthpieces say that they should deplatform basically Fox News because they have legitimized this footage and that politicians now should just like stop, that the Biden administration should stop treating them like a news organization, reminiscent of Canada's Bill C-18, that basically, you know, we shouldn't even try to give any attention to Fox News, especially because their viewers are not persuadable voters. Listen to this utter crap.
First is Democrats have to stop giving Fox full legitimacy. We say all the time that Fox is a MAGA network, propagandist, Tucker Carlson, but in the day-to-day life of most Democratic politicians and political operatives, Fox still exists in this quasi-legitimate place. They get to they're in the network pool. They get to ask a bunch of questions. And if you think that sounds ridiculous, just remember like a month ago, the absurd conversation we had about whether Joe Biden should do a Fox interview at the Super Bowl. With these text reveals that Fox and Breitbart are the same thing. So we have to treat Fox like Breitbart. If Breitbart was doing a Super Bowl interview, no one would be like, why is Joe Biden missing this opportunity to speak to the American people through Breitbart? Like, what the fuck are we doing? Right? When Breitbart, like, this is not to say that Fox can't come to the White House, they can't cover things. Of course they can do it. When we were in the White House, Breitbart, the Daily Caller, they showed up in the briefing room every day. And sometimes they'd call their office with questions. You know what we would do? Not fucking call them back, because we don't have time to deal with MAGA propagandists. They are as adversarial to us as the RNC. And we should treat them the same way. And Fox is the same way. Second, and related to this, we should stop pretending that Fox is a good way to reach persuadable voters. It's not. And the math is pretty simple. Just think about it this way. There are 2 million people that watch Bret Baier. That's a shitload of people compared to like what CNN and MSNBC are getting at the same time. But it's a fraction of the overall electorate. And so let's generously say that like 10% of those viewers are persuadable viewers. Because the vast majority of all cable news viewers are not persuadable voters. And Fox is even to the extreme of that. So let's say that 10% of the 2 million are persuadable. So that's 200,000 voters. So let's say you're a Democrat in a Trumpy district, and you do have some Trump voters you have to win to be reelected. What are the odds that of the small sliver of your 750,000 or so voters who are persuadable fit in that tiny 200,000 watching Fox at that moment? It's almost zero. It's like the odds of winning the lottery. It's insane.
This seems like an argument to, if you're working in politics, not to put your boss on CNN or MSNBC either.
Well, you would at least talk to some of, I think.
You're talking a lot of persuadable voters on MSNBC?
No, but there's an argument for talking to your base sometimes as well.
Okay, that's utter, I find that so odious.
Which part?
All of it. But one, that there's no use talking to American people if you're not going to persuade them as a voter. So don't even try. So why do they have this podcast? They later go on to say that, yes, we're trying to influence you and voters, but at least we're clear about it. Whereas Fox is not clear about it. And then they go on to say, really, the only reason anyone should go on Fox News is to own them, like go on and have like a smackdown of a host and then share it on Twitter with your base. That's really the only reason. And that's how it's used.
And the other piece of my big takeaway was when we worked in the White House, the Obama administration, and conservative news outlets would call us, like the Daily Caller, who has a great investigative journalist, by the way, at the Daily Caller, and Fox or other conservative networks would call us, we would not call them back, or we would not call them back.
Yes.
Because we don't have time for them. Okay.
So we only yell down an echo chamber, nothing else.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is only to go on Fox News in order to like get yourself a shareable clip, in order to elevate yourself to your existing base. And again, I find that to be so insulting to anyone's intelligence, as if we can't really have conversations. It's only just to self-legitimize, period.
Right. Imagine if Biden were to go on Bret Baier and have a great conversation. What he might do to, I don't know, not necessarily elevate himself to conservative voters, but for people who were sort of thinking that, oh, he's adult, he's demented, he doesn't.
Right.
Well, maybe, you know, he seemed pretty salient there. Like, okay, I feel a little bit better about my president of the United States to an
right.
audience that maybe doesn't think that.
And they said the only reason Biden should go on is just to own them, which I don't see in the current mental state of the president at this age, him able to do.
There's no owning.
At one point, maybe he could have, because he was always pretty wonky in his prime. But I don't see that happening right now. And again, the idea that they're just refusing to say, why does this footage not fit in with our narrative? Let's actually just talk about that and fill in the gaps. And it seems like it's just impossible. Go ahead, David.
And are they suggesting that CNN and MSNBC and all those are legitimate news agencies?
Right. Well,
yes,
I guess
they are.
By omission, right? They're right. basically elevating. Yeah, the people that are in that briefing room to ask questions to the president, like those are legitimate. I mean, great point. I mean, we just saw the New York Times issue a huge propaganda piece about the Nord Stream pipeline and repeated propaganda coming out of the Washington Post and the New York Times and NBC. So they're legitimate news organizations that get to ask questions of a president.
Yes.
Well, and it's Fox News. It's Ducey that's pushing the hardest and asking the questions that every media company should be asking in the first place.
Yeah.
It's he's Fox the
only,
News.
He's the only one asking actually tough questions, right? Well, mm-hmm. There's a few now, but most of the time there's no one else. It is an eco chamber.
No, they take the piss out of Ducey and they're like, he doesn't even consider himself a journalist. He just asks stupid, provoking questions.
And I think the thing like listening to this like podcast that you just played, that this like what they're really suggesting is we should stop as a country of debating each other or having conversation mm-hmm. with people that disagree with us. And so like when you end the conversation, you end compromise, you end negotiation, you end finding like that middle point that fits for the majority of us. And what you end up with is just two factions that are at war with each other that will have nothing to do with each other. So like at this point, what we need China to come in and mediate our political parties so that we can, come to peace. Like, what do we need?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, like when we go and arbitrate elections in other countries or mediate elections in other countries. Do you want the United States to come and help mediate your election? Yeah, maybe we need somebody to come in and do that for us. There's 100 million people that don't vote in the United States. Here's why. Right. This what you just watched is exactly why, unfortunately.
But to those of you who did watch the interview with Tucker this weekend, thank you. I was very excited about it because this is an old friendship that Clayton's had since his days at Fox. I thought it was very heartwarming, and I want to say great job on
thank
that.
You.
And thank you to those of you who watched.
It's been my favorite of all the because of all the redacted conversations we've had. Like it's been my favorite by far because it was just such a like I've seen it like. Two or three times.
Yeah.
Not just in like the initial, I've watched it again.
I've seen so many comments also on the video where people are like, I generally don't like Tucker, but this has turned me around and I'm going to start watching him again because it's like, there's such a genuine tone to that whole interview. And I loved it as well. Like I watched it to preview it for edit or whatever. Like that was just a really good and things you just never would know about him otherwise.
Yeah.
So great job.
And it's not lost on me. I was telling Clayton one of my major reactions is when he put us in the category of like us and Russell Brand, which felt very legitimizing and flattering. And Tucker, and he says these people are filling in the gaps now of what the corporate media is refusing to do. And it's not lost on me that everyone in that group is non-drinkers. And has like come to a, because I consider Clayton and I non-drinkers and those two also are non-drinkers. And I just want to sort of legitimize not drinking because it takes an honesty, and I feel like in our lives, when we stopped making that a part of our lives, there was a, like it created a lot of room for thought and honesty inside of our lives. And so if you are in that category, welcome. I just want to sort of normalize that and not around addiction, just people who make those choices,
Or people who grow, right? There's things in your life that you from that Tucker interview, you see you grow and there's things that like you shake off and you realize that didn't serve me anymore. Like I'm constantly waking up tired. I can't give more thought to the things that are interesting in my life.
I can't read a book in bed at night because
whatever it is, whatever it is, we all struggle with. Yeah,
for me, this show, like being on this show with you guys, has taught me to just have different conversations. I don't come in as charged as I used to. I try to step back, listen to the person, and try to have a little bit more empathy than I used to have. Like I'm still pretty wired, but I'm getting better.
All right.
And I thank you
we
guys.
All grow. Yeah. Evolution, right?
All right. Well, let's move on because we're going to have to talk about COVID.
Yeah. So we're going to do that over on Rumble. We're going to go over to rumble.com/redacted. But first, attention. Are you an investor looking for an easier way to trade stocks? And would you like 17 free stocks? With Moomoo, my favorite trading platform, there's no steep learning curve. It has a simple interface and it's easy to use, so even beginners can take advantage of the stock market in no time. Plus, it offers powerful tools, often reserved for experienced investors, like customizable watch lists and advanced charting capabilities. And now Moomoo even has a powerful new earnings calendar, so you don't have to hunt and peck trying to find earnings schedules for your favorite companies. Right now, for a limited time, Moomoo is giving away 17 free stocks when you open your account and you make your initial deposits. Even if you never do anything else with the account, you get to keep those free stocks. Moomoo has zero commission trades, and the app looks amazing on every platform, from iOS to Android to Windows and Mac. Moomoo can help you trade with its advanced tools like their stock screener and their earnings calendar. So no matter what your skill level is, you'll find fantastic tools that can help you trade. Open your free Moomoo account today. Get access to zero commission trades and 17 free stocks when you open your account and make your initial deposits. So to learn more, check out our link at redacted.inc/Moomoo. That's redacted.inc/Moomoo. All right, so we are now going to move our little happy asses over to Rumble. Happy asses is from European Christmas Vacation, or not European Christmas Vacation, Christmas Vacation.
Okay.
It's like, you know, take my little happy ass down to, I forget, I love that when he says that, Chevy Chase. Anyway,
right.
So we're going to take our happy asses over to Rumble right now, where we can speak freely on that platform. So come on over to our Rumble channel where our stream will continue. Rumble.com/redacted. Rumble.com/redacted. Virgil, come on over with us.
All right. Well, we're going to talk to you about the FDA and the CDC, and we're going to warn you that we're going to talk about COVID. That's the reason we've decided to go onto one platform over another. So warm up, do a stretch. Here we go.
Welcome to everyone on Rumble. Good to see all of you. Thank you guys for joining us here. And again, thanks for the big award that we got last week that we shared with you. Thank you to that. We're really excited about that.
It lives there. Where
yeah,
is
you
it?
Can see it over your shoulder
can
in the one shot.
Can you see it if we put my camera up?
Yeah, there it
it's
is.
Right there.
Right there. There's the Rumble. Yeah. The Rumble statue.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we're going to talk about the CDC in Florida. But first, let's tell you about our new storefront. We've got some new designs that are hitting the store exclusively for a limited time. Yes, indeed. Our brand new shirts. Take a look at our brand new shirts. They are, David, you want to tell us about our new shirts? Because we worked on these, I guess, you and Grim, over the past couple of months to get these up here. But this is our first new special run of shirts.
Yeah, so this is a limited time run. It's going to run from now until March 31st at 11:59 p.m. And then they're not going to run again. And it's silence equals complicity. And we just really feel like, you know, as we have conversations and everything, people sometimes have a tendency to not want to talk about it. But we need to talk about it because being silent is being complicit in some cases. So
yeah, like in the war.
It's a limited time design.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Well, I was going to say specifically like in war, right? Or what's going on in Syria or Yemen or Ukraine, like being silent on these issues, or in East Palestine, whatever it is, right? Being silent, then you're complicit with the media, right? That's where that shirt idea came from. So for a limited time, we're going to be selling those shirts on the redactedstore.com storefront. Redactedstore.com is the place to go to check it out.
All right. Well, the FDA and the CDC are sparring with Florida Surgeon General Joe Lodapo over COVID vaccines. The Associated Press reports that these agencies, the CDC and the FDA, debunked him. I feel like they purposely chose kind of a dorky picture of him, like he looks kind of dopey and unsure of himself. Okay.
Well, that's the strategy for these, like the Associated Press particularly, right? Like find an unflattering photo, like where, you know, someone's looking off into space or something or whatever.
Where he looks confused, like, oh, you really got me.
You debunked
there.
Me?
Right. And so, but debunked is such a definitive way to write a headline. Like it's declarative. It's done. He is debunked. So what is this about? And why is the press considering this a done deal? Well, maybe you know why. The press has never dared to ask a single critical question about the COVID vaccine rollout, and Dr. Lodapo has. Here is the letter that he posted to the CDC and the FDA in mid-February, and he asked them to talk about the COVID vaccine program. He did not ask them to remove the vaccine program. He asks in this letter to study it. Here is the piece where he talks about that. He says, and I'm sorry, it's a weird graphic because it's on two split pages. So Clayton thinks I don't bring pretty graphics, and sometimes he's right. He says, in addition to Florida's analysis of the mRNA COVID vaccines, academic researchers throughout our country and around the globe have been have seen troubling safety signals of adverse events surrounding the vaccine. Their concerns are corroborated by the substantial increase in VAERS reporting from Florida. The VAERS is the reporting system of adverse events, including life-threatening conditions. We've never seen this type of response following previous mass vaccination efforts pushed by the federal government. Even the H1N1 vaccine did not trigger this sort of response. In Florida alone, we saw a 1,700% increase in reports after the release of the COVID-19 vaccine, compared to an increase in 400% of vaccine administration for the same period. The reporting of life-threatening conditions increased 4,400%. This increase in adverse events compared to the percent increase in vaccine use further explains the significant uptake we're seeing in VAERS reports. These findings are unlikely to be related to changes in reporting given their magnitude and more likely a pattern of increased risk. So he says we need unbiased research. That's all he's asking for. He is not saying it's causal. He's saying the correlation troubles me. I don't like it. And I want to study it. In fact, he points to this August 2022 study showing serious adverse events in mRNA vaccines. The study finds that these vaccines are, in fact, associated with an increased risk of serious events, including coagulation disorders, acute cardiac injuries, Bell's palsy, and encephalitis. The risk is 1 in 550 individuals, he says, which is much higher than other vaccines. So, does the CDC dispute this in their debunking? Do they address these studies? Do they address the increase in VAERS reporting? They do not. In fact, Dr. Lodapo is specifically concerned about this chart in VAERS reporting that they do not address. So this is overall reports of vaccine adverse effects in Florida. 2021 and 2022 have a significant spike. What happened around that time?
I wonder.
Again, I'm going to use the term, is this a coincidence conspiracy? What did I say? Coincidence theorists? That it's coincidental. So we talked about in a previous segment that if you're not a conspiracy theorist, then you're a coincidence theorist.
Right.
So is this a coincidence theory? Maybe.
It could be totally unrelated. Yeah. It could be like crocodiles or whatever else they've got in Florida. It could be mosquitoes causing this problem.
It could be that. Javelinas. Do they have that there? Or they don't.
What's a javelina?
That's like a pig. It's like in Arizona.
Oh,
I'm just joking. I'm just throwing stuff out. So yeah, we all should want to know why this is, whether you love the COVID vaccine or you do not. Dr. Lodapo says that this shows that, again, that in Florida, there's this 1700% increase in VAERS reporting compared to only 400% more vaccines given in the state. So the CDC posted this letter over the weekend. Again, you'd think they would at least acknowledge those numbers that Dr. Lodapo says and say, that's concerning. We don't like it. We should look into it. No, instead, they accuse Dr. Lodapo of doing a misinformation. This is from their letter. The claim that the increase of VAERS reports of life-threatening conditions reported from Florida and elsewhere represents an increase of risk caused by the COVID-19 vaccine is incorrect, misleading, and could be harmful to the American public. They warn us that VAERS reports are going to go up because of VAERS reports. Quite sure about this. Maybe you guys can help me work it out. They're saying reports of adverse events to VAERS following vaccination does not mean that a vaccine caused the event. Since December 2020, almost 270 million people have received more than 670 million doses of COVID vaccines in the U.S., with over 50 million people having received the updated bivalent vaccine. The emergency use authorizations for the COVID vaccines require sponsors and vaccine providers to report certain adverse events through VAERS, so more reports should be expected. What does that mean?
You know what that leaves out is the fact that they say that it's probably only 1%. So they're right, the information is not correct because it's underreported by a factor of about 90 to 99%.
But what they're saying is
That
more people are going to now, they've encouraged more people to file adverse events. Therefore, the VAERS system will see more adverse events.
Yeah, I don't know if the encourage what? Is the right thing. They're just saying because there's emergency use authorization, which there always has been.
For the whole, all of, yeah, the COVID vaccines are emergency use authorized.
Yeah, they're not,
so
still not
approved. More reports should be expected. I just don't understand how that's a rebuttal.
It's not. Because.
Yeah, it's not. I mean.
There's no rebuttal.
The only thing I could think of is they're saying, well, if people are more aware that these are possibilities, then they're more likely to attribute that if they've been vaccinated and they get, you know, like a cardio, like issues, then they're more likely to associate it with that. So then they'll report it.
I'm not sure. You know,
I don't know.
Because otherwise they heretofore were not reporting it. I mean, as we, David just mentioned at the beginning, the VAERS system to file a VAERS report, it's time consuming and there's a lot of paperwork. You don't just like go like, it's not like putting a Trustpilot review. Like, I didn't like my stay at that hotel. Think one star. No, you have to file paperwork to do it and go through the system. It's a pain in the ass.
Right.
So there's a reason why we don't see more of these. They're not. It's not like they're lowering the threshold, making it easier to file a VAERS report.
Yeah. Now, they do address the increase. Can we put that quote back up, the last one? They say, recent concerns about increased reports of cardiovascular events, which they call MACE, major cardiac events, provide an instructive example of the need to do further analysis when increased reporting of an event occurs, meaning we should study more of why it was reported, not why it happened. Despite increased reports of these events, meaning they're saying, yes, we are getting more cardiac events reported, despite that, they say, when the concern was examined in detail by cardiovascular experts, the risk of stroke and heart attack was actually lower for people who had been vaccinated, not higher. Well, this study that they're hyperlinking us to here is this one that I'm bringing up. It's called Impact of Vaccination on Major Adverse Cardiovascular Events with Patients with COVID Infection. It's an interesting study because if you look at who they studied almost 2 million people, found 12,000 cases of non-vaccinated patients having a major cardiac event. But if you look at the bottom, almost all of them also had comorbidities. So does the vaccine have much to do with this? Who knows? This is all they're giving us, is that these people who had stroke and these comorbidities also were unvaccinated. So we, you know, who knows? Can we do more causal studies besides correlation studies? We should. We should all want that. And that's what Joe Lodapo is asking for. And the CDC responds with just one study of their own and then ignores the others. And then they continue to say that the vaccine actually does work to reduce severe COVID. But their proof for that is this. One study, observational study, and the dates here are between December of 2020 to December of 2021. Well, that's over a year old. So the CDC has since admitted that COVID deaths have been overreported. So maybe they should go back and redo that research, or maybe they should hit us up for some research. So when you say, does the COVID vaccine work? Does it reduce severe hospitalization and COVID? They have no other data except this that's over a year old and was only observational. That one study, right? That I don't know. I feel like that's maybe not enough for why are we vaccinating? And again, you know, Dr. Lodapo is saying, I want more clinical studies and causal studies, not population studies. And they're saying, no, they're hitting us back with the hyperlinks that we already have, rather than an actual conversation about causal and clinical trials.
But I don't think we're ever going to get that data, because if you look at the data that, like, if you read the Pfizer documents and stuff, people were removed from the trials for having certain things. So it's like, you're never going to get accurate data of what the actual adverse events were, because if you had one, you were removed from the trial. You were removed from the study if you didn't fit this box.
But
so we'll never know.
But we have a lot of damning data from Pfizer themselves and Moderna themselves, and we've covered them here on the show. We have a lot of damning data about the risk of stroke. So for them to just sort of give these old links, you know, just a few of them that are not as convincing as I think that the studies showing links to adverse effects, you know, the CDC is just saying, no, we're happy with this study and not yours. And we don't think we need any more. So is that a full debunking? Is that a burn?
No, but of course, you know, the mainstream media will do the water carrying for the CDC and the Biden administration on this, right?
Yes.
So the Associated Press will print these headlines, and then you have to read through the articles and data to actually get it, find out exactly what's going on here. But most people read headlines. They do not read articles, and
yes,
they don't read data, and they don't read studies. So they're going to see that, and they're gonna be like, oh, the CDC, yeah, way to go. You burned that anti-vax guy down in Florida.
Yeah.
And this is the very reason we're having to do this segment on Rumble versus YouTube, because right now, if they're going to start carrying the water and say, you know, YouTube's going to be like, oh, the CDC said that that's not correct, so you can't talk about this guy in Florida right now who said this conspiracy stuff, this misinformation.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So we can't do this story.
And not to mention, like, if I was to make if I were to make the argument that like, I don't know, the vaccine works perfectly, or I guess sometimes maybe like an alternative argument, you know, that like if I were to say something like people that take the vaccine just die, and I was like, and to prove it, I have one single observational study that was done a year and a half ago, people would absolutely ignore me. They'd be like, yeah, okay.
Should.
You know, like,
yes.
I would yeah, they should. They would like, I would like a little bit more evidence than just one observational study that was done a year ago.
Yeah.
Like the so just if that's all they have. And like, even if they're right, they should have more and want more information.
There's, yes,
like, just a single, yeah, study, a single observational study is not proof of anything. And
no.
So it just blows my
can
mind.
You imagine Joe Ladapo reading that letter and be like, I'm going to use this as toilet paper. This does not help the people of Florida.
Yeah, this is garbage. And that's what we have right now in our healthcare politics. Our politicians, you know, they're driven by money. And they're driven by special interests and not the health of the Americans right now. And same in the British government as well. You know, the same thing carries over there as well with their reporting system.
Well, and just the fact that the FDA tried to hide all this for 55 years should show you that they're in bed with the pharmaceutical company. Because that one piece of this alone shows you that they don't want you to know what's really going on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And well, the fact that it's owned by the military, right?
I mean, right.
It's like that we know that the Pentagon runs the vaccine program anyway. So
there was a kid that called my son an anti-vaxxer and he was like, how can you say that? Because the vaccine has literally saved millions of lives. And I'm like, oh, where'd that come from? Because I've missed it.
Yeah. Can you show me that data, please?
That the vaccine has saved millions of lives, because I would like to see it. When the CDC is asked, this is what they give us. I don't feel very strongly about that at this point, but I'm open to that data. So if you have it, please put it in the chat. I don't have a preconceived outcome on this. I want to see more, just like everything else, the January 6th. I want more. I want all of it. I want nothing censored.
Well,
so,
my parents said it. Okay. There
cool.
You go. Great.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us, but I do want to make sure you're subscribed to the channel, because many of you watch the show and are not subscribed. So all you have to do is hit that subscribe button on Rumble. Rumble.com/redacted is the place to go. Just hit that subscribe button. If you're here, you can hit the also, and you can also become a member of our VIP community, where we release things early to you and sometimes exclusively to you, where it'll never see the light of day anywhere else. So you guys all in our redacted community got to see our Tucker interview before anyone else. If you join, you can go to our locals community there and click on that and join for the price of a cup of coffee once a month. You can support independent journalism. We are not a billionaire run corporation, so we are user supported. So if you want to support what we do here and the stories that we bring to you, we wouldn't be able to do what we do without your support. So join the rebellion as a VIP. Again, become a member today and support independent journalism. We will be back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. We know with the time zone change right now, the United States springed forward. You guys springed forward. Mice or mices? You guys jumped forward an hour. Europe, the rest of the world, like whatever, did not. So that's more condensed right now. But we're still at 4 p.m. Eastern time is when we are broadcasting here to you. So please subscribe, and we will see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern time. Much love to all of you. Have a great night, everyone.